New Year. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studio at the Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn back with us in the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Good to be back with you in 2025, episode 199 of Mr. Irrelevant. Almost to 200. Let's try our best not to get canceled ahead of episode 200, allegedly coming up on Monday to wrap up the NFL regular season. Lots to get into, man. I've been off since the 23rd. I worked yesterday, but we haven't had an irrelevant episode since the day before or the day of the Packers-Saints game a couple weeks ago. So a ton to dive into on the Packers front, as obviously the regular season finale coming up in just about 48 hours at Lambeau Field, and then the playoffs are here. And, you know, since we last talked, the confidence has kind of gone up and down in terms of the Packers. The seeding has changed a little bit after Sunday's loss to the Minnesota Vikings, as it looks like the Packers likely now the 7th seed in the NFC. We will dive into that a bit later, as they could still get the 6th seed, but they're going to need an old friend's help in Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. But all in all, deep breath. We made it to 2025. We have almost made it to the NFL postseason, which is my favorite time of the year. And by the way, for a guy who a couple weeks ago said, yeah, I don't know what to think of this 12-team playoff in college football, man, is it delivered, especially in that second round. 5, 6, 7, 8, advancing to the final four of the college football playoff. But before we get into any and all of that, what day is it today, man? Like, I know it's Friday, okay? I know in theory and on the calendar today is Friday, but I don't believe that. And I do believe going forward, we can't do Christmas and New Year's in the middle of the week. That just can't be a thing anymore. So I'm no Aristotle. I'm no Augustus. That's who made August, right, Hunter? You're smarter than me here. We don't have Joshy to rely on our historical context.
I don't know why. Right? Again, I don't know why you try and do things.
Well, Augustus is who the month of August is named after, if I'm not mistaken. So anyway, okay. I am not the type of person that can tell you the mathematics and the science that goes into the construction of your annual calendar. But the fact that we did Christmas on a Wednesday, New Year's on a Wednesday, and then a majority of us returned to work, for those of us that were off over that chunk, and Hunter and I both were, a majority of us returned to work yesterday. Now, for Hunter, he's actually returning today. This is his first day back, aside from a few, I think, days in the middle of that holiday stretch there. Hunter, when you woke up today, in your mind, were you going, yeah, Rebecca Black, baby, it's Friday?
No, I was just like, I don't know what day it is. Just get through today, and I've got two more days off. This is the first time that I haven't worn sweatpants in like 2 weeks. Like, yeah. This is crazy. I feel way too dressed up, and I'm in khakis and a hoodie.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for wearing the appropriate clothing, I guess. But no, I'm with you, dude. Like, I've worn khakis the last 2 days. It's been mostly sweatpants and jeans the last 2 weeks, and flannels and comfy clothes, pajama pants a couple days, because, you know, cute family holiday stuff. Like, and maybe we'll be realigned by Monday after we get another Saturday in, we get a Sunday in with the Packers playing. But, like, the NFL didn't help this either, right? Think about all the days they played games the last couple weeks. Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'm all thrown off. So good to be with you on this Friday edition of Mr. Irrelevant, but really feels like a Tuesday edition of Mr. Irrelevant, but technically like a Sunday edition of Mr. Irrelevant. You can do with that what you will. Packers, Bears coming up on the actual Sunday in 2 days at Lambeau Field. It's the regular season finale for the second year in a row at Lambeau Field between these two teams. Now, much less on the line than a year ago. A year ago, it was win and you're in for the Packers. The Bears already had the number one pick locked up because the Carolina Panthers were that bad. And the Bears looked like they were trending in the right direction. Thus, why they retained a guy like Matt Eberflus entering the season, who, of course, is no longer their head coach. You had Caleb Williams, you had Keenan Allen, you had DeAndre Swift, and you just get worse. The Bears have lost 10 games in a row. They have lost 11 in a row to the Green Bay Packers. And frankly, the Packers are going to be quite shorthanded on Sunday. all the guys in the injury report aren't going to play. At least that is our understanding as it stands right now, a little bit less than 48 hours ahead of time. Packers likely going to be out. Quay Walker, Evan Williams. We know they're without Jaire Alexander for the remainder of the season unless they make it to the Super Bowl. Josh Jacobs saying yesterday to the media, yeah, I don't anticipate getting a lot of those carries that I've been getting the past few weeks. What I anticipate is Malik Willis is going to play the second half. And the Packers are just kind of play their game, play a lot of their guys, and assume that's going to be enough against this lowly Bears team to extend it to 12 in a row. And look, I've said in the past, I feel bad for Bears fans because it's not their fault that they're in constant disarray and dysfunction. It's not their fault, right? You draft Caleb Williams, your GM, who I think has actually done a pretty nice job, goes and adds these great weapons, minus an offensive line in its entirety, and you just continue to stink. But then I saw this, and this is, again, this isn't Bears fans' fault, but look, I understand it's been pure dominance the last half decade. Since Matt LaFleur arrived in Green Bay, it has been dominance in this rivalry. The one that happened right after the bye week is a little too close for comfort as Carl Brooks blocks a field goal at the end of regulation to save the game and a one-point win for Green Bay to extend it to 11 games in a row that the Packers have beaten the Bears. But it's been complete dominance. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, man, got to get up for this rivalry. But in my heart and in my brain, this rivalry is still alive and well. The other two teams in the NFC North that are not the Bears are making the playoffs. And I still want to beat the Bears more. I hate the Chicago Bears. And that was fueled even more this week by cornerback Jalen Johnson, who, by the way, was burned several times in that game earlier this year. Jalen Johnson, earlier this week, talking to the media.
That's how I'm feeling. I mean, I'm going to try to go out with a bang. So, I mean, it's last opponent on the schedule, so I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Bleep them. We've lost 10 in a row, but bleep them. We can't get out of our own way, but bleep them. Well, at least one Bears player feels that way. They're now at a 10-game losing streak, as I mentioned. Let's go jump in the time machine. Let's go back to the day after this became an 8-game losing streak. Monday Night Football against the Detroit Lions a couple weeks ago. Star wide receiver DJ Moore, the guy who was supposed to lead the league in receiving touchdowns and receiving yards and bring Caleb Williams to superstardom, after losing their 8th game in a row, that has since been extended to 10 games in a row, had this to say about the remainder of the NFL season.
What I'm thinking about? Mm-hmm. Vacation.
To clear your mind of all this?
There you go. Yeah. Let them do all the work and then, you know, just come back and ready to go.
So this guy that's supposed to be a leader and a captain and a terrific offensive weapon, and he is for the Chicago Bears, shows no leadership with, at that point, 3 games remaining in the NFL season. He's thinking about vacation. This team stinks. They are a dumpster fire. So put Malik Willis in. Put Emmanuel Wilson in. Put Chris Brooks in. You're still going to win this game by double digits. And it's unfortunate that a win doesn't secure you the 6th seed. A win might only get you the 7th seed, which is where you stand as you enter this game. But all in all, seeing the way these players talk, and the way these players discuss the idea of the remainder of the NFL season, I just want to kick their ass. It's as simple as that on Sunday. I don't care who does it. Malik Willis is 3-0 this year. Malik Willis go 4-0. I think back to, and this is kind of what I want to see. I know Jordan Love's going to start, and he should. I just don't want to, and obviously he's dealt with some injuries this year. I don't want him to get injured, but he should start on Sunday, get a couple reps, maybe play a half. But Malik Willis has been so good this year. I want like a Matt Flynn-esque performance from him. And I know we just celebrated the anniversary of that when Flynn in the final game of the season years and years ago, maybe 2011, played the final game against the Detroit Lions, threw 6 touchdowns, which became the Packers franchise record, right? Like, I would love to see Malik Willis just go out there and sling it. But anyway. All right. The artist formerly known as Intern Will is here. Will Summers. Now, part-time Will, is a Chicago Bears fan. So I would like to pull Will in for just a moment. How are you?
Well, first of all, why do you hate vacation? Like, is it wrong to like going on vacation?
You know what? That's a fair follow-up question. Vacation's fun. Vacation is fun, but not when you are paid millions and millions of dollars to play for another month. But I hear where you're coming from. I love vacation. I was it's funny you say that. I was just looking at my vacation because it's the new year. Our vacation's been updated. I got 21 days to burn this year, man. I got 3 weeks to burn of vacation this year.
Cool.
Yeah, good point. But I won't take that much. But yeah anyway.
You're a hard worker.
So you didn't answer my question.
So how you're giving money away for free? We got to circle back here, Strofe.
Yeah, probably. I did this year. So you can roll over 5 days, which I did. But I think I actually had 7 remaining. I don't know, man. This isn't work. Like, this is fun. We have awesome jobs. So I don't know. I mean, yes, I should probably like go to Europe or something for the first time in my life at some point. But... I can wait. Anyway, Will, you didn't answer my question. How are you?
I feel good. I feel sneaky.
Oh, okay.
Sneaky Bears.
So you think this is the opportunity to end the season on a high note?
Yes. Yes.
You don't actually believe that.
The season, mark my words, this season is a win if we win the last game. It's better than last year. It's better than 2018 when we lost in the first round of playoffs. If we can just beat the Packers, like this... It's so embarrassing to, I mean, obviously we've lost however many games in a row, but when you lose to the team that you hate the most and they hate you, and like you said, it's like you guys said it was too close for comfort and you won. Like,
yeah, it was.
That just goes to show how bad this rivalry is, score-wise and record-wise, but I feel sneaky. I feel like the Packers are...
Sneaky.
Yeah, sneaky Bears. That's what I'm calling them. The Packers are looking ahead. You know, they don't really care. Like,
I can't wait to play this back on Monday.
Yeah.
When the final score is 35-7.
This is probably going to end up being the coldest take ever. Yeah. Like, they might lose by 50, but...
They might. They might.
Yeah. I'd honestly be more okay with that than a close game.
So, when did you give up? Like, obviously, a 10-game losing streak is unrepairable. You can't come back from that. But we're 10 games into it now. At what point were you like, yeah, no, I'm done?
I fully gave up after the Thanksgiving game where Matt Eberflus took his one timeout into retirement, basically.
Yep.
He still has it, actually, in case anyone was wondering. But that was my breaking point where I'm like, I'm not really going to get sad anymore. I'm not going to care. Just kind of done with the year. And because, I mean, that was just horrible. It's like, at that point, I mean, what is there to be hopeful about? I mean, in front of everybody. Everybody just woke up on Thanksgiving Day and watched that.
Like, yeah, no, not much is the answer. What is there to be hopeful for?
No,
now, and I think your fellow Bears fan, Mark Silverman, host of Waddle and Sylvie in Chicago, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, posted this today as their poll, which there's some great irony in this poll, by the way. Which Bears losing streak? I'm just going to read this verbatim from at Waddle and Sylvie on Twitter. Which Bears losing streak is most embarrassing? 10 in a row overall, 11 in a row to the Packers, or 20 Sunday losses on the road in a row, which is unbelievably bad.
That is crazy.
And then the second part of this tweet says, today's poll question is brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Mm. So our great partners at the Chicagoland Toyota dealers, and Jordan Love's great partner at Toyota.
What's his record after becoming a partner? Is it 0-1 or 1-1? Just curious. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
It is 0-1. You knew the answer to that.
No, I actually didn't. I was thinking about it. I was like, did it happen before or after the Saints game? But
it was after
I don't know.
The Saints. Maybe I think it was after the Saints game, yeah.
Bad juju?
Maybe.
But
they jinxed
them. Yeah. If you want me to answer that question, it's the 11 games of the Packers. I mean... It's just so bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
So bad.
And look, the Packers have been pretty good in that stretch under LaFleur, but, I mean, they've been beatable. Right. And obviously, this last one was probably the best opportunity.
Oh, yeah, easily.
With a blocked field goal.
And, I mean, like I said, like, those games are the ones that are actually meaningful. Like, the Bears lose 10 in a row. It's like no one remembers how they lost to the Cardinals or the Patriots. But, I mean, the Packers games, it's like, okay, like, if we win, we feel pretty good. Like, if we beat up on like a crappy team, it doesn't really mean anything.
You still sound depressed, if I'm being completely honest with you. I really like you, Will, but like it sounds like you're trying to talk yourself out of a Bears depression right now. And I'm worried about you. I hear Hunter, like he's just like, oh, Will, He's a Cowboys fan, so he gets your misery.
Yeah.
I do, but it's not nearly as bad. And I can't believe that this isn't 100% the 20 Sundays.
Because
you're closing
crazy.
In on three seasons
that,
of losses
that is,
on Sunday.
Okay. That well, is an insane like that, statistic.
Yeah.
Put it like that.
Like, that's White Sox
sounds
bad.
Pretty bad.
And I know it's a very specific stat, right? 20 road losses on Sundays. But it is still, that is so hard to do.
You also have to understand, we are Bears fans. Like, this is what we do. We are delusion. Like, we love delusion. Like, last year was one of my favorite years being a Bears fan because we were in the hunt for, like, 8 weeks in a row. It was awesome. Like, we were just straight, like, 7-6, like, 8-6. Right around that mark, and it was awesome, like, just, like, being in the hunt. Like,
it was
maybe,
awesome just seeing that graphic on Sunday Night Football in a game you're not playing
right,
in.
Right, right, right. And even if we are playing, we're probably not winning. It's just, like, the 0 to 100, like, the fluctuating roller coaster is just so much fun. Like, just the, man, we suck, sell a team, and it's like, wait, playoff Bears? We're kind of back.
Oh, my God. That's so good. I'm sorry. I'm not, but I am at the same time.
I get what you mean by that.
No, that's fair. All right. Thank you, Will. I didn't anticipate pulling Will in today, but I saw this Waddle and Sylvie pull, and I saw the Jalen Johnson quote, and I go, oh, my God, if Will's in the room, I got to talk to him.
That's fair. Yeah. Jalen Johnson quote. I love it. That's what made me believe again.
Bleep them. Sneaky Bears.
We're back. Sneaky Bears.
Sneaky Bears. Bill on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat says, rest Jacobs, start Wilson or Brooks. I also want to see all the wide receiver threes and fours. Bo Melton. I want Bo Melton to start. Watch Bo go for 2 touchdowns and like 400 yards. Hell yeah, Bill. Bleep them. Chef Ed on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat says, Strofe, would you expect any different comments from a fib? No, I wouldn't,
thought
Chef
we were
Ed.
Friends, Chef Ed. Oh. It's kind of rude.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Delusion galore here. Indeed. So there you go. That's the pulse down in Chicagoland. Vibes are not high. Vibes are not high in Chicagoland right now.
Sneaky.
Except for Will, who happens to be sitting in Milwaukee and maybe is listening to Packers fans and, you know, trying to talk ourselves into like, hey, yeah, we'll be the 7th seed. We can still make the Super Bowl, right? There's a little delusion going on here too. And so I want to get to playing time on Sunday. Because it's up in the air, right? Like, the Washington-Dallas game, and I'm so glad the fans we have that aren't Packers fans like myself on the panel today. We have a Cowboys fan who I desperately would love to see win on Sunday. We have a Bears fan whose ass I want to kick on Sunday that we get to hear from. So I want to go to Hunter back in the Everlight Solar Studio. So, in my head, here's how I think it's going to play out. It's 2025 now, right? Like, we will know Matt LaFleur will have an eye on the score of the Commanders-Cowboys game. If they get in the locker room at halftime, let's say the Packers are up, let's say 14-0, right? Let's make it pretty conservative here. 14-0, 2-touchdown lead at halftime. And let's say it's 10-0 Commanders. If I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm probably still going to go, all right, nothing we can do. Malik, go ahead and get warmed up. Josh, you're done. Josh Jacobs, you're done for the game. You know, defensively, I mean, most of your starters are, not most of them, but a lot of them are beat up right now, right? Like the Quay Walkers, the Evan Williams, obviously Jair Alexander, and a couple other guys that likely won't play on Sunday. If I'm Matt LaFleur, and I see, okay, Commanders have a nice lead, we have a nice lead. I think it could go either way. Even if the Cowboys have a nice lead, it's like there's nothing we can do. All we can do is win this game. I'm probably resting the starters at half if it's a 2-possession lead. If it's 10-0, if it's 14-0, if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm probably like, all right, guys, we're healthy. Let's stay healthy. Let's focus on our road test next week in the postseason and hope the Cowboys and our old friend Mike McCarthy can take care of business. So that's where I'm at in the playing time debacle. Want to go to Hunter, though, on this Cowboys-Commanders game, which could have an impact on the Packers' seeding. Cowboys need a win, Packers need a win, and the Packers would be the 6th seed in the NFC playoffs. Any other results, Packers would be the 7th seed. A Commanders win means the Packers are the 7th seed. I think with a tie and a Packers win, the Packers would get the 6th seed, but that's probably unlikely. Hunter, where's our confidence level at for Big Mike and the Cowboys on Sunday?
About as low as it can be. I turned off the Cowboys-Eagles game last Sunday after the pick 6 to open up the game. I was like, all right,
oh, good.
I know what's happening here.
So you didn't make it at all.
No. Nope, didn't need to see Saquon do what he did.
Okay, I gotta give you a compliment, though. I actually respect this because you, and you will admit this, this is not me coming out of left field with this. You are typically not the healthiest sports fan in the world, right? Like, you will revel in your own misery.
Yeah.
I've called you many times in the past a doomsday fan. For you to responsibly say on a Sunday, you know what? This is not worth my time. It's not worth my stress. Click. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go play video games. I'm going to go hang out with my wife. Whatever you did, right? I respect the level of self-respect, really, it takes for you to do that. That's self-growth for you as we head into the new year. So well done by you.
Thank you. I mean, it's also like, I feel like, because sometimes some people will give me flack when I do that, or like there's times where I've turned off Marquette games because it's that same kind of thing. Like, okay, early on, like, I can tell where this is going because I've watched enough of this team. Like, there's a certain point when you watch every down of a team play, you know what's going to happen. And I'm just like, I don't need to do this. Like, there's nothing I'm going to get out of this. I don't even know if I'm going to turn this game on. I honestly feel
Hunter.
No, I'm like, this is not doomsday. This is just genuinely Cooper Rush is that bad of a quarterback that, like, I don't know if he breaks 200 passing yards. Like, it is going to be one of the most disgusting games of football that you could watch. This is basically going to be Iowa, Minnesota, Big Ten West days level of football. We're going to see 40 punts in this game. It's going to be gross. It's going to be disgusting. Ooh. And those 40 punts are all the Cowboys.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Jaden Daniels is going to put up 50 on this team.
So,
like, no one's playing. It's going to be bad.
We should acknowledge, though, the Cowboys defense hasn't been awful. They haven't been great. Obviously, allowing 41 last week to the Eagles is no good. But prior to that, 24 to the Buccaneers, who can score points. Only 14 to the Panthers, who are bad. 27 to a Bengals offense that's been really hot. 20 to the Giants. Last time they played the Commanders, they allowed 34, which is not great. Commanders can score points. We know this about them.
Yep.
That's what makes them a really interesting team this postseason. Is there any chance in your mind Big Mike can help out his former team and save his job? I know those are kind of two separate questions, but could he help his former team and save his job Sunday?
I think he's already saved his job.
Okay.
I think they're going to bring him back. My hope out of this game, and I don't think this will happen, is that the Packers take care of business. They are clearly going to win, and the Cowboys make this interesting enough that Packer fans feel that glimmer of hope that I always feel as a Cowboys fan, having to rely on this team or expect them to try and win a game just to have them stomp on your heart. Like, I genuinely need Packer fans to actually feel what that's like. Because it's one thing if you lose in an NFC championship game or you're losing in the divisional round, but to have your heart broken the final week of the regular season or in the wild card, totally different animal. And I just need you to know, like, what that actually feels like for me. So my hope is that this game goes down to the wire and then the Commanders pull it off just to break Packer fans' hearts. That's genuinely what I want out of this Sunday.
Okay.
I'm not bitter at all.
Yeah, clearly.
Holding on to last year's playoff loss.
Yeah, no, I didn't get that vibe at all. Yeah, no, absolutely not. So what time is your playoff game in a few weeks, guys? Will, Hunter, playoff game for you guys?
I mean, the Bucks I'm sure are gonna play sometime next week. Marquette's got some games. That's where my mind's at.
That's the best part about being a Bears fan. Like, every Packers playoff game is a playoff game for you, but you're just rooting for the other team.
So I've heard, like, and I remember Barstool Big Cat has called into our, it seems like every year the season end, he'll call into Green Bay Game Night.
Yes.
Just to say this is his Super Bowl. Is that how you view it as well? You almost spit out your coffee when I said that.
It's awesome.
Is that how you view it as well? When the Packers lose in the postseason, that's your Super Bowl?
Last Get year, so much joy out of it.
Me and my good friend were at a Packers bar, and we were, like, just high-fiving each other, like, under the table the whole time when they played the 49ers. And then they lose, and you're just so happy, and everyone else there is so
devastated.
Sad. It's just such a great – I mean, it's kind of a evil villain type thing, but it was awesome. It was a great feeling.
Mm. All right, so this is my takeaway here. In our first conversation of 2025.
It is loser talk, though. I'll dig myself
for that.
This
is my takeaway.
Loser talk.
You guys are miserable. You guys are sad. Like, I'm so glad I'm not you, Will, and I'm so glad I'm not you, Hunter. That's how I feel right now.
Like, you need to understand, Strofe. This is decades upon decades of disappointment and heartbreak. Like, this isn't just a, oh, yeah, we got close and we were in it. And then, you know, Bostic happens and you end up losing the NFC Championship game. Like, that is totally different.
Couldn't you make the case that that is better?
Man.
Okay.
I haven't seen an NFC Championship game in 30 years. Totally different.
That's fair.
Like, the Bears haven't seen what? I mean, they got to a Super Bowl at least. So the Bears, I think, honestly, are in a better spot.
Yeah, but Will.
But like,
I was like 4 years
old.
Yeah,
I was going to say, do you remember that?
Oh, you're that young? No. Oh, man.
The only thing I've had is the like 2018 playoff run where they.
Was that the double dunk?
No, don't say it.
That was the double dunk.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it. You said it. It's out there.
I said it.
It's horrible.
It's out there. Sorry. Okay. All right, good talk on that. Let's talk playoff seeding because obviously a ton of implications elsewhere in the NFC North coming up on Sunday. In, I imagine, what many are going to view as the game of the year, Sunday Night Football, the final game of the NFL regular season. It's Lions-Vikings. The winner will get the number one seed in the NFC, will get home field advantage throughout the postseason, and not that that matters as much to what these teams' aspirations are in the postseason, but you do win, of course, the NFC North as well with a win on Sunday night. This is going to be an awesome game. Now, I said it a bit earlier. I do hate the Vikings because they've been so competitive for so long, and it seems like it was Packers-Vikings there for like the better part of a decade plus. So I do have a little bit of hatred towards the Vikings, but I have a really hard time disrespecting Sam Darnold because that journey is so neat, right? For a guy that goes to, hey, for Bears, well, maybe not for Bears fans, but for Cowboys fans, you can at least say, hey, at least we're not the Jets, right? I mean, for a team that just can never get a quarterback situation right, they're right up there with the Bears and the Browns. It's cool to see a guy revive his career. And it's seemingly become a little bit of a trend in the last few years in the NFL, right? Baker Mayfield is another great example of this, a guy that kind of bounced around the league a little bit, revitalized his career in a new spot. And has been great, right? Like, Baker's been really good for Tampa. Geno Smith, another example of this in Seattle, a guy that bounced around the league, was kind of a backup quarterback, had some opportunities, and now has really made himself look good in Seattle. Sam Darnold is now another example of that here in Minnesota. He's been better than Jordan Love this year. Like, there's no way of splitting hairs around that. Sam Darnold has been a better quarterback and a more consistent quarterback this season than the $55 million man. That's not a knock on Love because Love's been hurt. Love's cleaned it up a little bit. But he hasn't been as great at moments as Sam Darnold has. So it's hard for me to talk down on or talk bad about Sam Darnold because that's not an easy journey, dude. What that guy went through is really hard to come back from. And it's really impressive to see what Kevin O'Connell, who will likely win Coach of the Year, has done in Minnesota with Sam Darnold. The tools around him, not my favorite. I like watching Justin Jefferson. I like Justin Jefferson because I'm a Packers fan. Aaron Jones I love, but I kind of hate, if that makes any sense. Jordan Addison, he's really good, so I hate him, just based on that. And TJ Hockenson, Iowa, Detroit, Minnesota. I mean, when you go on that path, I'm probably not going to like it too much either. So on that note, Detroit is hard to hate also, but easier to hate the last 2 years with how good they've been. And to be honest with you, I get the appeal to Dan Campbell. It's just not my cup of tea. Like, he's a good football coach. It's not my favorite. That said, I will be watching every second of this football game. It's going to go down as hopefully the game of the year. A ton on the line. Because, I pointed out what the winner gets. Some forget what happens to the loser either. For a Detroit team that looked like they were the best team in the NFL all season long, goes through all these ups and downs in terms of injury, more players on injured reserve than anybody else in the NFL, lose a couple games, couple missteps, and all of a sudden here we are in week 18. For a division, it seemed like they probably were going to lock up with like 16 wins at one point. They now stand with the opportunity of win and you get the one seed or lose and you go on the road likely for the entirety of the postseason. That is not an easy path for either team. No matter how good you are, Detroit or Minnesota, going on the road is really tough. And we will talk about that with the Packers in a second. So the loser of this game has to turn right back around and in a week, go on the road to obviously a hostile environment. It would likely be, Tampa Bay, but a hostile environment on the road against a team that can score points, anything can happen, right? You play the games for a reason. So this game has just ginormous implications attached to it. It's the two best teams in the division, and despite likely being a 12-win team this year, the Packers will be if they win on Sunday, the third best team in their division, 12-5, third place. That's how good the NFC North has been this year. So this game I'm really, really excited to watch after the Packers whip up on the Bears at noon. Now, with the Packers, I'm not losing hope yet, right? Like, Sunday against Minnesota last week was obviously an eye-opener of sorts, right? You were still looking for the proof of concept that the Packers could go to a playoff team on the road and win. They did it in Seattle. Seattle's not looking much like a playoff team anymore. And they weren't in that game at all. I mean, that was a rout by Green Bay a couple weeks ago. But to go to a hostile environment, okay. We see you can go on the run and win. Great. Now do it in Minnesota. Couldn't get the job done. So, yeah, the idea of likely going to Philadelphia in the first round is not super appealing to me. I view Philly as the best team in the NFC now. You could flip a coin, though, a three-sided coin, if you will, between Detroit, Minnesota, and Philly. But that's certainly the last place I want to go. Because at least Detroit and Minnesota, I know Packers fans are going to show up. Philly, that might be a 95 to 5% Philly outmatch in the crowd. And they are playing really good football. And what that offense provides, and you're going to be without Jaire Alexander during this postseason run, they probably pose the most threats to this Packers defense between Saquon Barkley and all the receiving options they have and a mobile quarterback, mobile-ish quarterback in Jalen Hurts. That is the last team I want to see. Now, I'm not saying they can't go there and win. That's not at all what I'm saying. I don't know that I'd pick them to win. But that'd be a really tough way to start. Which means, looking back, you made a three-game improvement from a year ago, but you didn't get as far as you did a year ago in the playoffs. I don't know what you view that as, and I'd love to hear from you on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube chats. Do you view that as a failure if the Packers are to fall out in the wild card round? I don't, but I know a lot of people have different expectations. When you see what that team was able to accomplish, and by the way, over-accomplish a year ago, of course your expectations are all of a sudden going to be flipped right back to what they used to be. This is a team that can compete for a Super Bowl. I think we all have kind of known in the back of our heads, it might be a year away before we can really put those expectations on them. 12 wins, it's hard to ignore that. But how many of those wins are against playoff teams? Houston, Los Angeles, end of list. 2-5 against playoff teams in the NFC is not really the NFL, rather. Doesn't make me feel so great about going on the road back-to-back weeks. Which they're going to have to do regardless. If they're the 6th seed or the 7th seed, it's going to be a road test every week. Again, not saying it's impossible, but this is a Packers team who is not playing their best football of the year right now. Now, can that change? Yes. Can you get hot at the right time? Absolutely. And can that come in a wild card win like it did a year ago? Going on the road to the 2 seed, growing a big lead very fast, defense steps up, and all of a sudden it's a blowout like it was in Dallas a year ago. Of course that's possible, but I'm just not counting on it. Because first off, and I know I bet this is what Hunter's about to say, the Eagles are not the Cowboys.
I could also say that, yes. I think they're much more well-disciplined and they have less issues than what the Cowboys did. But I was going to say this Packers team feels very similar to that Cowboys team last year. Now, I know obviously they're not going to have that home playoff game, but the Cowboys beat up on bad teams. They didn't look good last year against good teams, and then they had a good seed, and then they played a good team, and they got beat up on. And I just feel like the Packers are too flawed of a team right now to be able to go on the road then and win a game. Like, yeah, they could go on the road, and I think they can beat Tampa Bay. I think they could beat LA while it would be difficult. I think that they're capable of doing it. But outside of that, I don't think they beat anybody else in the playoffs in the NFC because they're such a flawed team. And they have shown at no point this year, really, that they can get out early on a team and get going. And I think part of that's because of the way that they've chosen to run their offense now. If you're going to be a run-first team, you've got to have a defense that can hold up early on. And right now, the defense can't do it. Like, that's why the Badgers were so good, that 2017 team, was they're going to run the ball early on, but they've got the best defense in the country, and they can shut you down until the offense wears out the defense and gets going. Packers can't do that right now. And that's where it's going to be really hard for them to win games in the playoffs.
I hear you. Jason points out, though, and I do agree with this, probably, I don't know, better defense probably in comparison to the Packers is what he means by that, but better defense and running game than what Dallas had last year. I would assume he means better defense than what the Packers had and running game than what Dallas had. Because that Dallas defense was pretty good last year, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I mean, they were good against the pass, and they were good if they had a lead. That was their problem. Okay. That's why I said going into that game, it was if the Cowboys win the coin toss, they can be in that game. If they lose the coin toss, they're going to have to try and defend the run right away.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring up the coin toss, because that's been something talked a lot about with Matt LaFleur the last few weeks. Is he's been starting with the ball. They win the coin toss, they're going to take the ball. And look, fast starts are important for this Packers team. That's clearly been proven. They did it against Seattle, and they didn't done it in most of their wins the last few months, right? Get out to a fast lead, you're going to win. But I almost want to defer going forward against better teams. Maybe not Sunday against the Bears. I don't really care what you do there. But when you play Philly in the wild card round, or Tampa, or whoever you play, you win the toss, I probably want to defer. See if this defense can get a quick stop, and then you have the opportunity to score first in the first half and score first in the second half. Mathematically, that just makes more sense to me. So, we'll see. I just know it's something, it's been a hot topic, right? It's been something we've seen LaFleur do. JT chimes in, defer that ball. Absolutely. Just to do a little cleanup here on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat, David chimes in. In my opinion, it's 50-50, Stroff. 12-5, assuming a Bears victory from 9-8 last year, does mean something, despite the losses against the Eagles, Lions, and Vikings. One and done in the playoffs would make this a wash in terms of, is it an improvement or is it a disappointment? I'm probably with you. You know, the expectation is probably get back to the divisional round. And again, I'm not ruling that out. I haven't, my confidence has dwindled a little bit about the opportunity to go on the road 3 weeks in a row and win all three. But to get one or even two, I'm not viewing that as impossible. It's really that first game that worries me the most, frankly. If you go to Philly in the wild card round, that is the game of the entire playoff stretch that would worry me the most. I would feel much more confident about the Packers going into Detroit or Minnesota a second time around, but a third game against those teams, than I would against Philly, who you haven't seen since what's effectively the NFL's fourth preseason game, which was played in Brazil, right, week one of the NFL season. It was a good game, but that's a team that has evolved and gotten a hell of a lot better. And obviously we know how good Saquon has been this year, cracking the 2,000-yard mark and entering top 10 single-season rushing yardage of all time. Saquon Barkley did, joining some unbelievable company like Eric Dickerson and Adrian Peterson, Derrick Henry, and O.J. Simpson in that category as well. Not sure if he's great company to have, but that's neither here nor
as
there.
As a player, it's great company to have. Yeah.
Correct, yes.
Jamal
Lewis in that category? Yep.
I was about to make a really bad joke, and it would have gotten us canceled.
I'd like to see episode 200, so yeah. Thank you for biting your tongue.
Also, Saquon doing it on less carries, by the way, too. So, super impressive. As much as I hate it that he's an Eagle, like, his season's been ridiculous. I kind of wish he would play. I want to see him break the record, especially that.
Yeah, only 100 yards short, but he's not going to play this week.
Yeah, and he could have done it with that extra game and less carries.
And against his former team. Yes. They play the Giants this week. It's in Philly, which takes a little bit of the buzz away. But still, to do it against your former team who let you walk and obviously made a mistake in doing it. How about the Giants, by the way? Who is the general manager there? Is it Joe Shane?
Yes, Joe Shane.
What an awful job he's done. I mean, look at the dudes he let go this offseason. I only need to bring up two names. Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney, who are both Pro Bowlers and could be all pros. I don't know if McKinney will be a first team all pro, but likely be an all pro. Saquon will be. How do you let both those guys walk out your door? I just have no, I mean, I get they're totally dysfunctional. And if you have the option to be an unrestricted free agent, you probably take it when you're in a situation like that. But man, it's like he didn't even fight for these guys. And they've both had career years. So anyway.
Also, what makes the Giants' misery even better, because like, again, the NFC East is, I will say, the most toxic division in all of sports. The fact that Shedeur Sanders went out and wore Giants-colored cleats in his bowl game, yeah. And then Drew Lock was like, nah, we're going to win this game. We're not going to get you. Like, just to add to their misery, like, they're not getting Shedeur now, too. It's just so funny.
It is funny. Yeah, the Giants pooping down their own leg. It's entertaining. I like when NFL teams do that.
So you know the clip of Joe Shane saying, I'm going to have a tough time sleeping at night? You
yes.
see that Saquon just released a commercial with like a bed company, and the
no.
opening line is, if you're having trouble sleeping at night.
Oh, that's so
just
good.
Just the ultimate shot, like as he's not like already having a record-breaking year after they let him
Wow. Out. I did not see that. That's awesome. Love that. Love that. All right, before we get to what we learned, we wrap it up, because we've got a little bit of cleanup to do in terms of what we learned. I'm going to show it a little bit here. I just want to hear from Jalen Johnson one more time. He was asked his mindset entering the final week of the season.
That's how I'm feeling. I mean, I'm going to try to go out with a bang. So, I mean, it's last opponent on the schedule, so I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Bleep him. A little bit better than what DJ Moore had to say a couple weeks prior, which we can we'll run that back one more time. DJ Moore, after the eighth straight loss for the Bears, which is now a 10-game losing streak, a couple weeks ago following a Monday Night Football loss. Here's what their team, is, I believe he's a team captain, had to say, DJ Moore.
About vacation.
To clear your mind of
yes,
all this?
There you go. Yeah. Let them do all the work and then, you know, just come back and ready to go.
Thinking about vacation, middle of December. Still got a few ball games to play there, DJ. All right, you learn something new every day. We learned something new today. It's time now for what we learned. I will lead off because this one is just fascinating to me. There's two ways I can spin this. Number one, what I learned is Brian Gutekunst is elite. Number two, what I learned is you don't have to be elite to make a Pro Bowl. Brian Gutekunst, of course, making the I don't want to say questionable, probably controversial decisions this offseason, specifically the Josh Jacobs signing. Xavier McKinney wasn't any of that. I mean, that was just, oh boy, they got a good young safety. Both making Pro Bowls, Josh Jacobs third, Xavier McKinney's first. And Rashawn Gary, one of the defensive ends representing the NFC, selected to the 2025 Pro Bowl games. I don't know if we've talked more negatively about a Packers player this season than we have Rashawn Gary. Like, this dude is making millions and millions of dollars to go out and be a game wrecker and a playmaker. And he's been better the last few weeks. But it's been a rough season for him. And it's been a rough couple seasons for him. But cool for him. I will say this, despite all the outside noise to get selected to the Pro Bowl. It's good that a first-round pick made the Pro Bowl for Goody, because his first-round resume, not very good. Unfortunately, it's looking like his first-ever first-round pick probably won't be a part of the team next year. Of course, Jair Alexander ruled out earlier this week. Will have knee surgery with the PCL injury he sustained to clear out his knee a little bit. He could make it back to the Super Bowl, which also happens to be his birthday, if they make it that far. So, meh. But Rashawn Gary, man. Making the Pro Bowl, and probably not deserving of it, but it's the Pro Bowl. I don't know how much we're paying attention to it. I have a hard time believing he was a top three defensive end in the NFC. Whether we look at stats, whether we look at win rate, I don't know what we want to look at.
He was top three in the NFC North.
Right. And, you know, it'd be great if like the NHL, the All-Star game is by division, but that's not the case here, right? Like, he wasn't deserving of this. And whatever. Like, I'm happy for him. He seems like a nice dude. I hope he, you know, evolves into the game wrecker we've all hoped. And I think Michigan fans even hoped back when he played there. He's always had the physical tools. He's always had the right size. He's always had the speed. He's just never quite been able to piece it together correctly. And I get this is a weird transition for him moving from outside linebacker to defensive end. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Weird one. Weird one getting in. All right, Hunter, what do you got? What do we learn?
I learned that the SEC is overrated. We need to stop talking about them like they're at all a competent conference in college football.
Lane Kiffin disagrees.
Yeah, great, Lane Kiffin. You beat Duke football. Way to go, my dude. Like, what are we doing, Lane?
So I was watching that game last night. And, you know, between the third and fourth quarter, and they were winning big, right? This game was over. I don't remember the exact score at the time, but he was talking to the sideline reporter on ESPN. And he made a comment about how, you know, we just wanted to look good against an ACC opponent. Just a subtle shot. And I got to be honest, Hunter, I kind of love the subtle disrespect that comes out of Lane Kiffin's mouth. He's a loudmouth, man, and he tweets a ton. But I kind of respect the hell out of it.
I do. I just didn't like seeing, like, and I get Paul Feinbaum literally is paid by the SEC network to be on. But then, like, Nick Saban trying to go to bat for Alabama still. And I'm like, dude, you just lost to Michigan, who plays football like it's the 50s and can't throw the ball forward at all. And you're going to sit here and act like that team should have been in the playoff. Like, what are we doing? Like, Georgia looked like they shouldn't have been on that field with Notre Dame. I understand that they moved the ball a little bit, but, like, they were bad. That was the worst Georgia team I've seen in years. And this conference is not at all what everyone talked about them being, and I'm really tired as a college football fan of trying to act like the SEC is something special. Colin Russo, who's been on this show a number of times and
sure
hosted
been.
Wisconsin yep. College Game Day, used to talk all the time about how incredible the SEC is and how it's like the NFL and it's so difficult. Like, no, it's not. We need to stop doing this. If the SEC was as good as they were, Tennessee wouldn't have looked as bad as they did.
Yeah.
Texas wouldn't have needed double overtime to beat Arizona State. Like, what are we doing? I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I'm so happy. Ohio State's probably going to roll Texas.
I hope they do.
And
I'd love an all Big Ten national championship game.
Only 6-point favorites Ohio State is. Notre Dame is favored by 1.5 over Penn State. But, you know, I'm glad you brought up the SEC and the college football playoff, because another thing I think we've all learned together is that this expansion was worthwhile. Right. I mean, I mentioned at the top of the show, 5, 6, 7, 8, the seeds. And I know that's not exactly how they used to rank it in the 14 playoff. This wouldn't have been the rankings. But regardless, lower seeds, not the teams that had buys, are teams advancing to the semifinals next week.
Also, conference champions all lost.
Correct. Right.
So I love that that was the whole thing with the seedings, was to try and make conference championships matter, and it very clearly did not. So I think conference championship games, if this happens again next year, there might be a conversation of no more conference championship games.
There might be, and obviously conferences are probably slowing down in expansion, but it's just hard to execute anyway, right? Oregon-Penn State is a weird, and I get it. It should have been a good game. It wasn't. Oregon and Ohio State also wasn't a very good game. But I don't know. I think that's a fair point by you. That's a wait and see thing more so than I'm going to push for it after 1 year. But look, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've talked about the college football playoff at length for years. I've always thought 4 was probably the number. And if it wasn't 4, I thought it was probably 8. We go to 12. I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset about it. But you're going to have people like Lane Kiffin then, who are technically 14th in the college football playoff poll, who complain and moan and whine about how they were left out. That's going to happen no matter the amount of teams you have in. But I felt as if 12 was probably a little too big and the quality of games would go down. And in the first round, it did. There really wasn't a standout game from that first round. But the quarterfinals delivered a little bit better.
The quarterfinals were great.
The double overtime game was fun. Ohio State-Oregon was still fun despite it being a blowout.
Yeah, and like Georgia-Notre Dame was still, like, it was a solid game. It was just very clear Notre Dame was going to handle that game.
Yeah.
Like, and Penn State did what we kind of expected. They stacked the box on Genty, and that's what's going to happen. But I think the big thing, though, with this 12-team playoff, it's the same thing that I think from time to time we see in the college basketball world, where a program that hasn't been deep into the tournament, they finally do it, especially from a power conference, and then it starts snowballing their conference or that program, because now they've seen what it's like. The coaching staff understands how to win those type of games. You get the money from the TV broadcasts of that help your program, and it starts building things for them. Also, the big thing too is a school like SMU getting a national TV game. I guarantee you their out-of-state enrollment is going to go up. out-of-state enrollment means more money for these schools. So now they can have better facilities as a program. This is all going to help these teams. It's just going to take time before we actually see these other, like, these kind of mid-level ACC teams, the inconsistently good teams, be able to actually go out there and compete. So it's going to be the big brands early, but then this will help the other teams. I'm totally fine with 12 teams now, but I know at some point they're going to go 16 because Lane Kiffin is going to cry about this enough that it'll happen.
Yeah, he might. Well, he will, but it might happen. It might happen. All right, last thing for you, because it seems like we need to do this like twice a month. Just our annual, our bi-monthly check-in on UW Green Bay basketball, because what a train wreck that is. Now 2-14 are the Phoenix after a 24-point loss last night to Wright State, but that's not the story here for Doug Gottlieb and company. Yesterday, it was announced that the NCAA had granted eligibility to a former professional player overseas named Jonathan Levy. He is now a freshman. He is 23 years old. He is a freshman at Green Bay. He's 23 years old, 6'9". Big man from Israel, joined the team officially yesterday. Played 22 minutes last night. I mean, Doug Gottlieb legitimately grabbed the dude off the street and played him for half the game, and they still lost by 24 points. I mean, it's about as bad as it can get up in Green Bay. And I don't even know how that's legal. I don't know how he got eligibility after he played 2 years of professional ball overseas. So technically you should not be eligible, but whatever. Talk about a snowball effect, dude. Green Bay, train wreck.
I'm looking ahead on their schedule just because I was curious to see when they would get another victory. I'm going to call my shot here, and I'm going to say Wednesday, January 22nd, they host IU Indiana, who is 5-11. That's going to be their best shot here because they've got Northern Kentucky winning record.
They've got Milwaukee a week from tomorrow.
Yep, winning record. I think first place in the Horizon League.
Yep.
Robert Morris at home, winning record. Youngstown State, 10 wins already right now, winning record. And then IU Indiana. Like, if they're going to get another win, that's when it's going to happen. Otherwise, there is a chance that they finish this season with like 3, maybe 4 wins still. Like, this is bad.
Yeah.
Does Doug make it another year?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll get at least 2.
If he doesn't leave.
Yeah, but I don't
think he
will.
Be like, yeah, I'm good.
I don't think he will.
Okay.
I think he'll see it through. But we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, that will do it for us. Packers-Bears Sunday at noon. We get you ready on Green Bay game day beginning at 9 o'clock just outside of Lambeau Field. Gabe Neitzel, Jarrett Bush, the Super Bowl champ, Steve Scafidi, Rob Domofsky, Jason Wilde will join me throughout beginning at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. And then it's on to the playoffs. We're back with you for episode 200 on Monday, reacting to the regular season, previewing the playoffs. We'll sprinkle in a few guests next week. I've got a few ideas. Some of the OG Mr. Irrelevant guests. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Maybe you can think about that if you've been with us for 200 of these puppies. Appreciate you always hanging out with us. Good to be back with you in the new year. We're back to our normal schedule. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, beginning at 12:30 Central, 1:30 Eastern on the ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels, across all sorts of different social medias. We're on ESPN Madison on Twitter today for the first time in a while. Good to be back on X. But you can find us, the audio version, wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. If you can't watch us live, just subscribe to the podcast, even if you don't listen to us all the time on there. Just make sure you get the updates. Maybe you're busy one Friday and you're driving around and you go, oh, crap, I got a new Mr. Irrelevant to listen to. So make sure you're subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We appreciate the support. We're back with you Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Recover. Figure out what day it actually is because I'm not quite sure I have yet. I think it's Friday. We'll talk to you Monday. Peace.